At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
This episode of Manage Smarter is presented by TeamKeeper, SalesFuel's data-driven program for improving team culture, communication, and retention. Learn more about TeamKeeper at TeamKeeper.com. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
Wellness and work-life balance and stress, those are three big things, right, Lee?
Very big.
Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast, everyone. Three big topics that we haven't really touched on, right?
Yeah, we had episode 14. We had Joy Altamari talk a little bit about the work-life integration and things of that nature. But a big topic of that is definitely stress. And, you know, Audrey, that's one of the reasons why I ride my bike so much long distances, is because it's a great stress reliever. And I can just kind of leave the stress out on the road. And then when I go home, you know, to the wife, the kids, and the dogs, you know, it's like, you know, they get a better me out of it. So I think it's incredibly important.
Better you. And that is why we have a doctor in the house. Dr. Kathy Groover is at the table. Kathy, hi. Thanks for coming.
Guys? Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, welcome everybody to the Manage Smarter podcast. I am Audrey Strong. I'm the Director of Communications for SalesFuel.
And I'm C. Lee Smith, and I'm still the President and CEO of SalesFuel.
Oh, that's good. He's still here, everybody. And Kathy is here. So let me tell you a little bit about Kathy. She is extraordinary. She has graced the stages on four continents, including TEDx. She's the author of, it's seven books, right? Is that the count, Kathy?
Seven, yeah.
Some of the titles, and Get Them While They're Hot, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, Conquer Your Stress, Workplace Wellness, Journey of Healing. Get this, everybody, studied mind-body medicine at the Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Harvard.
Yeah.
Also been featured in a lot of national media, Glamour, Fitness, WebMD. And so we really thought that I think at the core of whatever your job is, and as a C-suiter or middle management or top management, stress we can all relate to. So Kathy, you are the wellness queen. Thank you for coming.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a huge topic right now, not only in corporations, but also just in people's lives. We're seeing such an increase in stress, and whether it's social media or financial pressures, government pressures, you know, all this stuff is really weighing down on everybody. So it's a hot topic right now. I'm happy to share what I know.
Yeah, we used to be able to, like, you know, watch late night TV before you fall asleep or whatever, and have a laugh or something like that, and watch some lighthearted banter about some movie star plugging their latest movie coming up or something like that. But even that, it's like, it just gets you all wound up and gets you agitated and everything like that. Social media is the same way. The worst thing you can do is check Twitter before you go to bed. It seems like a lot of things that we used to get some enjoyment out of are just now causing stress in our lives.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's so important to unplug. And I see so many people who are absolutely trapped in their devices, and it's convenient. I mean, you know, I can do email sitting in line at the grocery store, but that also allows us a constant distraction. It doesn't give us that opportunity to pause, to actually be introspective, to turn to the person next to us and have a conversation. We're so apt to jump on that device and be like, what's on Facebook? Oh, a cat video. You know, we can be anywhere other than here. And here is the key. This present moment is the key. And we're finding ways to be anywhere else other than here.
So you tell people to change their mindset regarding high levels of stress. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have to understand that stress isn't the problem, because we can't control the stress. That stress is going to go on outside of ourselves, regardless of what we try to do. So much of it is in our own minds. So all we can do is reframe those stressors. We can change our mind and make a decision to respond to these things rather than react. And again, it goes back to that presence, which is, you know, the stress is behind us and things we're remembering and dwelling on, and in front of us and things that we're worried about. So staying present really gives us that opportunity to let that stress be someplace else and really control our response to it.
How can you tell when you're under stress? Or a better question might be, how can you determine earlier when you are experiencing stress?
Oh, there's so many warning signs. Everything from, gum chewing, sleeplessness, having muscle tension, shoulders up around your ears, which I see all the time. I still have a massage practice, so I see people walking in all the time with their shoulders up around their ears. Snapping at the dog, yelling in traffic, road rage, that inability to take responsibility for things when we do them wrong. That's one of those things that, it's not our fault, ladies, that we left the bag of groceries too close to the edge. It's our husband's fault for knocking them down.
Our fault.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, true, but I mean, in this case, you guys are amazing. It's things like that. It's those things which we now look at as normal, and our body has this amazing ability to seek out homeostasis. So those things that after a while sort of just become our real life, well, no, those are an indicator that there's a problem, and we get used to them, our body adapts to them, and we forget that they're actually telling us something. So I think it's really important to pay attention to those things, not only in yourself, but also in your family, your coworkers, your children, noticing those personality changes, whether it's more anger, boredom, sleeping longer, sleeping less. There's so many, they just go on and on.
So what do you do? I mean, let's say you are a C-suiter or you're in a very nice, cushy management job, and you they're going to say, Kathy, I can't quit. What do you want me to do? I mean, so what are some of the things that people can do? And then I want to talk a little bit about it trickling out to your teams and your direct reports and stuff.
Absolutely. That's a great question, because when we're faced with something that we don't like, we only have three options. Leave the situation, which you're right, we can't just all go quit. Change the situation, which is difficult because, again, that's typically something outside of ourselves, or change ourselves. That's the easiest one. No, not the easiest, but that's the one we typically can do because we're in charge of that. So everything from breath work, doing meditation, doing mindfulness practices. And for everybody listening who went, meditation, I don't have time for that. I don't know how to do that. That's too hard. I'm too type A. Welcome to my world. This is me. I had horrible times meditating. I'm a dancer. Don't tell me to sit still and clear my brain. It doesn't work. I thought I'd lose my edge. I thought it would be too hard to do. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was pointless. All these things. And I had all these huge misconceptions about meditation. But I found ways to do it that make us more productive, that allow better communication, better leadership. It stops that stress response, that fight or flight response that is so detrimental to us functioning in this day and age. And it allows us to up our game and be more present. It lets us pause so that we can respond rather than react. And the key to this really is responding. We want first responders. We don't want first reactors. No one's ever accused you of over responding. It's all, you're really overreacting. So that's the key, is just shifting that mindset to positivity and growth as opposed to dwelling in that negative space.
So give us an example of a meditation exercise that everybody could do at their desk, maybe close the door, a couple times during the day or whatever, just have, take a moment. What does that look like and sound like?
Yeah, absolutely. It is so simple. So in fact, I'll have you guys do it right now. Close your eyes if you want to.
I'm driving.
Everybody, I just say it. Don't close your eyes if you're driving.
I'm not driving.
Whole nother set of problems. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. But everybody listening, if you can, if you're in a space to do so, close your eyes.
Unless you're driving.
And then just concentrate on your breath. Just noticing that rise and fall of the chest. And you're not trying to slow it down. You're not trying to speed it up. You're just watching what that breathing's doing. And then on your inhale, think, I am. And on all of your inhales, think, I am. And on your next exhale, think, at peace. And on all of your exhales, think, at peace. So inhale, I am. Exhale, at peace. And if other thoughts intrude, which they're going to, because that's what our brains do, it's okay. Just dismiss it without judgment. Just acknowledge that you're thinking. Don't beat yourself up. You're not failing. You're not doing it wrong. But just bring yourself back to that breath in the inhale, I am, and the exhale, at peace. And it's that simple. And I do this before I get on the radio, before I write, before I go into client meetings, before I sit down to do speaking proposals, before I go in to speak, because it stops that fight or flight response. And with that fight or flight response, our memory and our cognitive function goes down, our communication goes down, that ability to pause and do that response rather than reaction. the fight or flight response was great when we were running from wild animals. Not so great when our stressors are the boss saying, I want to see you Monday morning, and that ruins our weekend because we bring him home with us. He's not at home thinking about us. That's, in our case, that's our doing at that point, carrying that with us. So that helps us stay present. And it's that simple. Inhale, I am. Exhale, at peace. I've taught millions of people to do this. You can do it anywhere, anytime. Anybody can do it, and it's so effective.
I would have to think one of the most stressful situations has got to be when you're in the military and you've got a drill sergeant in your face yelling at you, or you're having bullets whizzing by your head or something like that. And I read that you have done stress reduction programs for the military. What does that look like? Mm-hmm.
Well, what we did is we made a really comprehensive program. So those were tools like the mini meditation that as you do it more and more, it builds on itself. So it becomes easier to do, easier to get back in that state. At that point, it's a remembering. And then we also taught really simple things like breath work and reframing your thinking. So affirmations, visualization, and then mindfulness practice. So it was things that could be done in the moment if you are heading into battle, but also things that you could practice over time to get into that state and make it a little easier to get to that. Because really, the people who do seated formal meditation, and if any of those are listening, they heard my mini meditation, went, that's not really meditation. If all you have time to do is 2 minutes of I am at peace, it's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And really, the whole meditation thing, it's not what happens on the pillow, it's what you take off the pillow. It's how you then respond to people after that. It's like people who, you know, they go to church on Sunday and then they leave and they're abusive and nasty and horrible and rude. And it's like you have to carry that with you, whether it's spirituality or meditation or, you know, exercise. That the point is to make that part of you that carries you through your communication, your leadership, your interactions the rest of the day.
I'm so relaxed right now. I don't even want to ask another question. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, that was good. So I'm doing this in my office, and let's say I have 10 people reporting to me, and maybe I don't feel particularly responsible for their stress levels. A lot of company cultures are like, look, it's dog eat dog. What is that? What have I said, Lee? You would step over your dead grandmother to get ahead kind of culture.
Not here.
But so how do you deal with a culture that doesn't have concerns about this among all employees? And what is your responsibility as a manager about stress in your people?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of this trickles down from the top. And I've been to so many corporations where they're like, yeah. That's up to them. They put it on their staff to self-report, to self-regulate, and sometimes that's really hard to do. And I have noticed more and more corporations and organizations who, before they have their sales meeting, before they have their team meeting, they take a minute of centering time, just as a way to get everybody back and present. It can be as simple as that, because everybody's rushing around. Everybody has so much to do. So if you can give everybody that, just that little touchstone, it's like when we were playing tag and you had to get back to base, and that's where you gather yourself, and that's where you rest for a second, and that's where you plan your next thing of, oh, if I run behind that tree, he's not gonna be able to get me. That's in that moment, and it's as simple as using that analogy with the going back to base. That's what it is. It's that control alt delete where we can reset ourselves for just a second, be there present with the people we're communicating with, and get everyone on the same page. And that has to come from the top down. If you have crazy managers who are running around and they're not communicating well, that's going to trickle down to everybody else. And so if the managers can set aside that, and I don't know if it's ego or I don't know what it is. I think certainly in some cases it is ego. That's not my problem. The leadership has to recognize the intricacy and the web and the connectedness of everybody in your company, whether it's the receptionist to the guy that packs up the product to the janitor to the everybody has to be on the same page and in that same headspace. And I think it's so important to let that weave out, to let that flow out to everybody in the company.
So at the top of the show, I mentioned exercise, and you mentioned that meditation. What are some of the other methods that you would recommend for busy executives dealing with stress?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most simple is just the breath work. Breathing is the basis of any meditation program, any mindfulness program, any martial arts, because it anchors us back in the body. And if we have no other time, if we're heading into that crazy meeting and you know it's going to be insane and you're stressed about it, to literally stop and go and take that deep breath when our grandparents and teachers used to say, you know, stop, take a deep breath and count to 10. Yeah, that's a thing that actually works because it signifies to our brain, okay, we're in a relaxed space. We don't have to go into that fight or flight. It's something that's completely in our control. It brings us back in our body, back to the present moment. And again, it gives us that pause. So that breath work can make all the difference. The other thing is, you know, if you're in an office space, there's probably a kitchen, there's maybe a fax room if people still do that, there's a place where you're printing things and copying things. You can put affirmations around, and I'm not talking about the you know, the weird poster with the cat hanging in. You can do it, sweetie.
The demotivational poster.
The demotivational poster with the, you know, the jet fighters and the whatever it is. But we do. We think about 60,000 thoughts a day, and it's estimated about 50,000 of those are negative.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. And we wonder why we're not achieving the things we want to. And so much of our stress really is self-imposed. I mean, negative things happen. There's things outside of ourselves we can't control. But again, what we can control is our thinking. So if we're heading into that meeting, it's like, oh, it's going to go bad. He's probably going to yell at me, and I didn't do my TPC reports. And blah, blah, blah. How's that meeting going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, whereas if you can change your thinking and change your attitude, and whether that's you visualizing the meeting going so well, or those affirmations of this meeting's going to go great, I am productive, I have plenty of time, I'm surrounded by supportive coworkers, all of these things change us as we go into that situation. And when we change our attitude and our outlook, the people around us respond differently. They can't respond to the same old thing if you're now a different person. And it's those subtle differences can make a huge change in your culture.
So let's say I've got my boss, you know, I have upper management bearing down on me, you know, because my team hasn't done what they expected them to do. I mean, how do I, you know, keep from absorbing that stress that's being thrust upon me so that I don't then pass it on then to my folks?
Mm-hmm. It goes back to being here, present, because that conversation you had with your boss was in the past. So you can keep carrying that on with you, or you can worry about the future, or you can stay in that present moment. Now, you can certainly refer to the past. Hey, I just had this conversation with John. He was really upset about blah, and blah, and blah. But it also comes back to the simple thing of that pause. If you're hanging on to that past exchange, if you're feeling bad about it, if you're carrying all that yuckiness with you, and then you go into your team and start yelling at them, you're just passing on that negativity. So again, it's that take that breath, think about how can I communicate what I need with them without reacting to what's happening, because that's contagious. We're so good at sharing all that negativity as opposed to saying, hey, you know, we just got this criticism from higher up. This is what we need to work on. This was their point. You could translate that for them in a way that they can hear it better, because we've all been yelled at about something. How apt are we to change when we've just been chastised like a kid for doing something? You know, we don't respond well that way. So it's taking that pause, translating what you need to, and then passing it on in a way that's going to be productive for everybody, as opposed to just yelling and screaming. That's a reaction.
Then you're not a worrywart, and you've done something about it, and then you've let it go and then move on from there. I'm a really bad worrywart, so I'm totally getting what you're saying. But another passion of yours is related to massage and massage therapy, which is another thing that you recommend for people as a therapeutic way to get rid of stress. But it's also related to the underground sex trade. And since podcasts are international, we would love for you to talk a little bit about massage and recommendations for that, and then your work in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. It was something that it was really bothering me for years. I'm in Santa Barbara, California, and I was constantly seeing all these, quote, massage parlors popping up. And it was really bothering me because I knew what was really going on in there. And I take what I do very seriously. I hold every aspect of my professional career in such high esteem, and it was degrading the industry, not to mention degrading the women. And I knew it was dangerous. It's bad for the families and the communities, not to get too graphic, but they don't use condoms or any sort of protection in these places. They use saran wrap when they're performing these acts. Not real safe. So if you've got, and typically the most men that visit these places are married or in relationships. So I just started to think, you know, from a public health perspective, and from a perception perspective, and to mix the sex and the massage thing always really bothered me because that's not what we do. I wanted to take action on that. So I have clients who are police officers, and I was constantly saying, look, well, I can point you out. I can point them out. They're on these websites. Like, there are websites that you can find these places. Can't we shut them down? And one of them responded to me and said, well, we're just about to start working with the federal authorities, and how would you like to help? And ended up getting connected with them and actually went undercover into these places to report what they were doing, to tell them where the cameras were, to tell them how many women I found there, to see if there was evidence that they were living there, clothing, food, bedding, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I got to report back, and I did a lot of really good work for them for about 3 years. Wow. And unfortunately, not a lot of them got shut down. It was very frustrating to me because then I got this inside look of what these women are dealing with on a daily basis. And it became very sad to me. So now, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I would say, so if you're looking for legitimate healing, you just have to, one, use your head. And if they're open at 11 o'clock at night and it says discreet new girls, you don't want to go there for a deep tissue massage. That's, you mm-hmm. leave that to other people. Not to comment on what people do in their private life, but if you truly want healing in a therapeutic massage setting, you want to seek a practitioner that is best at what they do. Just like you take pride in the companies that you run and the organizations that you're a part of, go to people who know what they're doing, who are qualified, who can actually give you a therapeutic massage with consistency of care. That's one of the other problems with going to some of these like shopping center massage places is you don't often get consistency of care. And I've done expert witness work for years, and I've worked on a lot of cases where massage therapists have injured people, either due to negligence or over-enthusiasm, or I can stretch that arm over there and suddenly you've ripped your shoulder out of joint. You can get hurt having massage done by someone that doesn't know what they're doing. And that's the last thing I want to see is you saying, I'm going to get into self-care, and then it backfiring on you in that way. So
what's the certification you should look for? What are some of the things?
You know, it varies by state. I think at this point, every state, but of course the sex massage parlors have their licenses. So, they found a way around that system. So look for referrals, ask people, if you have other health practitioners, like a chiropractor or an acupuncturist, they can refer you to good people. Ask about their training. Hey, how long have you been doing this? And if you're going to one of these massage places where you get, they have 30 different therapists, ask them about your consistency of care. There tends to be huge turnover in those places. So you finally find the person you like, and then 2 weeks later, they're gone. So it's just about like picking any other health practitioner. You wouldn't just randomly pick a doctor out of the phone book. You would look into what they do, and you'd pick someone who does what you need them to. So that's what I recommend. Just be smart about it.
My senior vice president has been very active in fighting human trafficking for years. And I have to say that through the knowledge I picked up from her, my attitude toward that whole trade basically has changed dramatically. And it's one of those things where I think that if you go to one of those sex massage places, in the shopping center and everything like that, you have to have the realization that the women working there aren't necessarily working there because they want to work there, but they're not doing it by choice. Sometimes they're forced into working there. And you have to ask yourself, do I really want to spend my hard-earned money supporting that? Number one. Number two is, like, I think from a career standpoint, you also have to think, okay, if I am caught, frequenting a place like this, what does that do to my career once it's learned that I've been frequenting a place like this and supporting this kind of nefarious industry with my money?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point. And we've had a couple busts and sting operations set up here in town. And there have been some very well-known people in the community whose lives have been ruined. They've lost relationships. Families have broken apart. You never know if you're showing up to that place and they're busting that day. And one of the things they're realizing is, if you cut off it's a supply and demand thing. If you cut off the demand, well, the supply is going to go away. So if you start punishing the Johns, if you start really calling out and publicly shaming the people who are going there, and that's really the trend. That's what they're leaning towards, is that sort of thing. So just a warning.
And I'll caution you, having done television news reporting for 15 years, we will get the heads up and we will be there with the cameras, because the police like to make a big example out of this, and they give us a heads up. So you will be, you can expect that the media will probably be tipped off and be there. So
yeah, Or if nothing else, you're walking away with a vicious disease. So, I mean, if that doesn't deter you.
Okay, but let's talk about that. My last question to you will be, what other forms of alternative medicine then can also be used to treat stress?
Yeah, you know, the meditation is great. We talked about that. Massage is fabulous. Looking from a structural perspective, oftentimes there's this stress pain cycle. So we've had our shoulders up around our ears. We're not sleeping as well. Maybe we're doing a lot of traveling. We're on a lot of planes in strange beds because we're in different hotels. Mm. Chiropractic is one of my favorites. It really is. And I've heard people say, oh, chiropractors are quacks. Okay, not everybody is everything. So find a practitioner you like. If they tell you to come back 3 times a week for the rest of your life, question that and ask, well, am I actually getting better from this? The chiropractors that I refer to are so ethical. If they tell you to come back, it's because you need to come back, not because they have another boat payment to make. So ask questions, do your research. And, you know, it comes down again to using your head. And I'm also a huge fan of acupuncture. If you find the right practitioner and for the right thing, acupuncture can be amazing. And I'm also a hypnotherapist, and hypnosis is phenomenal for stress reduction, phobias, sleeping, travel anxiety. I mean, I've gotten people on planes who were terrified. I've gotten people to do motivational speaking when they're terrified. It's not just because I do speaking coaching as well, but that's just half of it. If you've got a deathly fear of getting on stage, hypnosis is great for things like that. And there's so many misconceptions around hypnosis. We could do a whole show on why people watch movies and think it's scary to be hypnotized, but it's a great modality. And again, find a good practitioner that you believe in, ask questions, and if you don't like them, try someone else.
That sounds great. My dad actually quit smoking from hypnosis, and he had cancer from it, and that was the end of that, and it was very helpful. So I am all for that. KL Groover is your Twitter. KathyGroover.com is the website. How other ways are you most comfortable with people reaching out to you?
Yeah, you know, the website's the best way. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram. I'm sure as we move through the future, there'll be 400 other ways. But those are the main ones. I've got tons of videos on YouTube, not only speaking videos, but also I am a flying trapeze artist. So there's a bunch of trapeze videos on there as well. And yeah, I'm all over the internet. So just come find me. I love communicating with people and helping people solve problems.
And soon to be a fellow member of the C-Suite Network.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Kathy, for coming. I think this is a big eye-opener for everyone. And wellness is something that everybody needs to always think about.
Absolutely. It's part of our world, and we can't be as productive or successful if we're stressed and unhealthy. So, yeah, we gotta bring it in.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.